Anyway, so I am excited to be bringing the word today. I love this church. I love this community. I just love what it represents. Just amazing, amazing thing. And it is an honor to be able to share today. We are in a series called Legacy Leaders. And so we've picked out kind of some of those really strong characters in the Bible. And we've really pulled out some of their leadership qualities and some of the things that we really want to emulate as followers of Christ, as believers. And so so last week, Richie talked about Job. And some of you are like, I hate that story. It doesn't make sense to me. And so everybody, I think, wrestles with Job. We want the bookends, right? We want the, he was really blessed, and then fast forward, and then he was really blessed, right? So we all love that part of Job. Nobody really wants to talk through the struggle part of it. But last week, Richie said three things, and I kind of summarized them like this. God grants the enemy permission for a purpose to produce power. God grants the enemy permission for a purpose to produce power inside of us. And so those three P's really stuck out last week, and just how we can rationalize some of what Job went through, and how we can not just flip through that book of the Bible because it's hard and difficult, but how we can dive into it deeper and ask the Lord, hey, this I'm struggling with this. I think sometimes we read the Bible and we think like, if we don't agree 100% with what's in the Word of God, that, you know, we're sinners, we're wrong thinking. And here's the deal. We have to be sanctified, right? We're not sanctified. We don't just come as salvation comes. We agree with everything. And there's this wrestling that we are allowed to do with the Holy Spirit. We're allowed to wrestle over the text. There are times when I read the Word of God and I'm like, Lord, I don't like that. It doesn't make sense to me. It's completely the opposite of how I think. And we have to allow the Lord to really work through, and the Holy Spirit to work through in those times. He doesn't expect perfection, he expects progress. So if we're making progress in our thinking, if we're moving forward in our thinking, that God says, I'll take that. That's what I want. I want a heart that makes progress. So I'm excited about talking about the second week today of our Legacy Leaders. And I'm talking about today the limits that we walk through. So I'm talking about leader limits, leadership limits. So keep that in the back of your thought process. And I think leadership is one of my favorite topics. If you pulled up my phone and you looked at my books on my bookshelf on my phone, if you looked at it, it's 100% leadership books, 100%. It's either leadership in business, leadership in church, leadership in your home and your family. I love this topic of leadership, not because I feel like I'm such a great leader, but because I feel like I'm not a great leader. And so I always want to learn a little bit more about leadership. And I think that is one of the reasons why I love talking about this subject. I love it. The fact of us getting to be leaders. And those of you may be sitting in this room today and saying, I'm not a leader. If you are saved, if you love the Lord, you've been called to be a leader. I don't care if you're 5 or if you're 555, God has called you to be a leader. But I think something interesting about leadership is that we do a really great job of talking about how to acquire a leadership position. So how to succeed in business, how to, you know, be great in your home. However, we don't do a great job of talking about the limits of leadership, about our limits in leadership. We don't do a great job of that. And we really don't do a great job of teaching people how to hold that leadership level, how to hold that place of influence that God has given you. And so today, I hope the story that we talk about in the Bible, I hope that it gives you some encouragement. But I'm gonna talk about Miriam today. And some of you know Miriam. Some of you have maybe heard a little bit about her. We are first introduced to this character in the Bible in Exodus, and she is Moses' sister. And so what happened was Moses was in this little basket, right? He was floating down the Nile River. We sang about it a couple of times today. And so Moses is floating down the river, and Miriam is watching her brother float down the river, right? And then when Pharaoh's daughter picks him up out of the water, she runs and tells Pharaoh, you know, do you want me to get a Hebrew woman to nurse this baby for you so that it can live? And so she goes and gets her mom. She brings her mom back. And so you can see automatically, like from the go, she has this very progressive mind thinking, very quick on her feet. And so I love that about Miriam. The next thing that we learn about Miriam in Micah 6:4, it describes that she was called alongside Aaron and Moses to lead the people out of Israel, out of slavery from Egypt. Some of you may not know that, that she was actually called alongside them, the Bible says, to lead them out of that place. The Bible also calls her a prophet. She's one of only a few women in the Bible that have been given the title of prophet, and she is one of those individuals. And in Exodus 15:20 and 21, the Bible says that Israel, after they crossed the Red Sea, we talked about he turns, you know, streams into highways. That was this line right here. And what happened is the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and they're over there. And then when the Egyptians come back through there, the waters come over the top of them and it wipes out their entire, you know, army. The great thing about it is that once they were on the other side, Miriam grabs her tambourine and she starts praising the Lord and worshiping him and just giving him praise. It was like the greatest praise party you could ever even imagine. And yeah, where's Toby with her tambourine today? This is your day, Toby. This is your day. You're going to hear this message and wonder where you were. So this woman has influence. She has influence and she's a leader among these people. And just so you get a picture in your mind, at that point in time, the Israelites numbered about 600,000 people. 600,000 people. Put it in perspective, Raymond James Stadium holds about 67,000 people, so almost 10 times that amount of people that fit in that stadium. And that's what we're talking about, crossing the Red Sea, crossing all of these places, walking in the wilderness, walking through. And this woman has influence and leadership ability over all of those people. God has called her in that way. But Miriam made a choice, and her choice caused her leadership, it caused her reputation, and ultimately her respect level for her community to fall into a place that she probably didn't want. So I want to pick up the story today in Numbers chapter 12 and verses 1 through 16. And I'm going to read this. You can follow along in your Bible as well. It's up here as well. It says, while they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. And Cushite, just so you know, was about Ethiopia. So put that in your mind. They said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too? But the Lord heard them. Now Moses was very humble, more humble than any other person on earth. So immediately the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, and said, go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. They're about to get spanking by the Lord. So the three of them went to the tabernacle. Then the Lord descended in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the temple. Aaron and Miriam, he called, and they stepped forward. And the Lord said to them, now listen to what I say. How many of you parents have ever said that? Now listen to me, right? This is God speaking. Now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. Underline this in your Bible. So why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? The Lord was very angry with them, and he departed. As the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam. Her skin was white as snow from leprosy. When Aaron saw that, right? Listen to this, this part. When Aaron saw what had happened to her, he cried to Moses, oh, my master, please don't punish us for this sin we have foolishly committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby already decayed at birth. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, I beg you, please heal her. But the Lord said to Moses, If her father had done nothing but spit in her face, wouldn't she be defiled for 7 days? So keep her outside the camp for 7 days, and after that, she may be accepted back. So Miriam was kept outside the camp for 7 days, and the people waited until she was brought back before they traveled again. Then they left Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. As I said earlier, we do a great job of talking about how to acquire a leadership position, but we don't do an awesome job of telling people how to sustain or hold that position of influence. And so today, as we kind of pull apart this story, I want to pull out three leadership limits that I really feel like if we can just dial into these, it'll keep us from having a position of influence and then losing it. And we see this all over history. History is littered with leaders who had a position of authority but couldn't sustain it. They couldn't hold it. And so today I want to focus on that. I want to focus on these three. The first leadership limit is pride. And I want you to focus on this part. Think about it in your mind. Pride is always waiting to take you out. Always. The thing that Miriam said in there was, does God only speak to you, Moses? Does he only speak to you? He's spoken through me. He's spoken through your brother. And we're telling you that it's wrong that you married this woman. They had a little bit of racism in their heart against her, is what it boiled down to. And they didn't like that. And I think the thing that's so baffling to me is how God says, I speak directly to him, so why weren't you afraid to come at him? There's a part of us that gets so familiar and so comfortable in our position that we actually cross boundaries that God has not allowed us to cross. And we suffer consequences because of that, because we put ourselves in a position where we're critical and God's saying, why would you criticize something that I made? Why would you criticize a person that I created? Keep that in your thoughts. Proverbs 16:5 says this, the Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished. As a leader, there will always be an opportunity for us, always be an opportunity for us to walk in pride. Always for us to say, look what I did, look what I accomplished, look who I am, look what I've built, look at the company that I've built. And I want us to counter those thoughts in that moment, right then and there. And I want us to do the very opposite of what the enemy would want us to do, because the enemy would want us to walk in pride. It's the very thing that caused him to get kicked out of heaven. So he wants us to walk in pride. It causes you to lose your place of influence. It'll cause you to lose your place of leadership. But in the moment when you feel pride rise up inside of you, if you stop right then and there and you say, you know what? I feel pride rising up inside of me, but Lord, I know that every perfect gift comes from you, that you've given me this gift, that if I'm blessed, it's because you've chosen to bless me. And I loved how Ariel even talked about that this morning in team rally, how she said, man, when we get blessed, we know other people in the world get checks in the mail, but when we get it, we get to say, thank you, Jesus, that I got a check in the mail. Little things like that cause you to put God back on the throne of your heart and remove yourself to the place where you belong. And I think if we can walk in that place where we don't allow pride to get so built up in our heart that we actually disqualify our own self for leadership, that I think we'll make a little bit more progress in our life. We'll see a little bit more blessing in our life because we can hold it. We know how to hold it. The second thing is this, you can't control your tongue. I know that sounds like a, well then what do I do, right? You can't control your tongue. James 3:5-10 says this, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises the Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in his image. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. We do this all the time. We do it all the time. Sometimes we're in a season where we're like, oh, I just want to bless people. I just want to love people. And then we're so critical of someone else. I will tell you, as a wife, I do this a lot. I'm so proud of him and he's so wonderful and I love my husband, blah, blah, blah. But the first time he messes up, man, I got to tell him that he messed up. Can I be real? What about my kids? Mommy loves you. I'm so proud of you, blah, blah, blah. But I don't show grace when they walk through something difficult. They walk through something hard. I'm real quick to say, you messed up. You made a mistake. You did something wrong. But in those moments, if I can just remember, keep my mind on the fact that I can't control my tongue. So what do I need? I need the Holy Spirit in that moment. When I'm living life, just living my life, I need the Holy Spirit in every aspect. I told Richie this, man, babe, it's kind of embarrassing that I have to get up like 2 hours early before I start my day and spend time with the Lord just so that I can act right throughout the day. Seriously. I told him, I was like, man, I just feel a little bit bad as I'm like, Lord, how ratchet am I that I have to be up 2 hours early so I can be around people and not be a mess? But that's the reality, honestly and truthfully, because I feel like if we don't have the voice of the Holy Spirit in operation in our life, then we don't have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. So if I'm asking the Lord, like, Lord, give me self-control so I don't fly off the handle and act wild and crazy, but I'm not willing to spend time in his presence so that it can do what it needs to do in my life, then I'm setting myself up for failure and I'm not going to be able to hold what God has called me to. I want you to think about that, church. Think about that for a second, that the gifts of God have to be those gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are all gifts that we can access. He's given those to us, but it will require you being in his presence so that you know how to obtain those in those moments where you want to fly off the handle and be crazy. Because in that moment, what I can do is I can say, I'm real mad right now. I'm big mad. Like my sister says, big mad. I'm big mad right now. But I know that your grace is sufficient and that you can sustain me in this moment. And I'm not gonna say something that I regret later. And like Miriam, how she was so quick to judge and so quick to hurt her brother in that moment, that it caused her to suffer greatly. And I think one of the things that as leaders that we do, and we do this a lot, is when we fly off the handle, we get mad or angry, we say things that we regret, and it causes everyone around us to kind of like lose a good opinion of us. And I think the opinion of others matters because that's our influence. And I can't ask to be influential and I can't ask for the Lord to use me if I act crazy, if I act like uncontrolled, if I'm not controlled. Because to everybody else, it's like, yeah, she says she's a Christian, but like she gets like crazy, right? Like she gets wild and I can't do that. So in order for me to be able to access that, I'm going to have to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Band, if you wouldn't just mind coming up. The last thing is this, leadership limits. Leadership limits, number three, and it's this. Everyone is waiting on you. Everyone is waiting on you. Listen to this. Numbers 12, 15. So Miriam was kept outside the camp for 7 days, and the people waited until she was brought back before they traveled again. That may seem harsh, like a leader, that she had to walk through that as a leader, that she had to be outside the camp. Remember, 600,000 people waiting on her before they could go. That sounds harsh. Everybody wants to raise their hand to be a leader, but nobody wants to raise their hand for accountability. Nobody wants to raise their hand and say, I made a mistake. I'm going to have to walk through this. And I think that's so hard and so harsh, but it's the nature of life and it's the reality that we are going to have to walk through consequences and circumstance for when we get out of order, when we get out of line. And no one's perfect. No one's perfect. Ethan, just drop that. No one's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes, everyone. It's our ability to be able to say, I messed up. I made a mistake. I'm okay, Lord, if you correct me in this moment, because I know I need it. If we can do that, we put ourselves in a position where we can hold it. Think about David, how David messed up. But the Bible says that he went to the Lord and he cried out and he poured out his heart before the Lord and he apologized for what he did. And he didn't lose his place of influence. He may have suffered a consequence, but he didn't lose his place of leadership. Each one of us are gonna walk through those circumstances and situations where we fail, we mess up, we make a mistake. But can you say, I'm sorry in this moment? Can you apologize in that moment? What about you as a parent? Is your family waiting on you? What about as a spouse? Is your family waiting on you? Is there a lesson that you have to learn in this season before you can move forward as a family? Is there a lesson as a boss or as an employer? Is there a lesson that everyone has to learn, you have to learn so that everyone can move on? If we can really just wrap our mind around the fact that I'm held to a higher standard because God's called me, then we would be okay understanding, okay, I may have to learn a lesson in this season. I may have to sit out for a season, but I know that on the other side of that, I'm gonna learn this and I'm gonna grow and that God's gonna promote me. And I'm gonna be able to hold in the next season what he has for me. And that's the goal, that we can hold what he has for us. Because do we wanna be like every other leader or every other person in history who has failed or made a mistake and then we never hear about them again? We wanna be the people that God consistently uses over and over and over again. We wanna be the people that God says, I'm gonna bless you. I know you made a mistake. We're gonna learn this lesson here on this season, but then we're gonna move forward. If we can do that, church, if we can do that, then God will promote us. He will keep us in that position. We will be able to hold what he has for us. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for each person represented in this group today, God, in this community. God, we just pray for your hand to be upon us. Lord, I thank you that as we study and as we show ourselves approved, God, Lord, those limits that each one of us have, God, those things that we do that don't necessarily glorify you or praise you, God, I pray that you would reveal those to us. Lord, if there are people in our life that are waiting on us to learn a lesson, Lord, I pray you would reveal it, God, so that we can move forward into all that you have for us. Lord, I come against a spirit of weariness. I come against a spirit of laziness and apathy. God, we ask that your anointing would rest upon our hearts. God, that we would put in the work to be the leaders that you've called us to be. God, I thank you that it is not by accident, it is not by circumstance, God, that we are in this room today. Lord, you called us to hear your word. Lord, you've given us a challenge, and I pray that we would accept that challenge. Lord, if there are people in this room today, God, that are feeling tired, that are feeling weary, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them, be their rock and their shield, God. I thank you that you're going before them. Lord, we pray for families represented in this room today, God, that your anointing, your presence, your power would be upon them. God, I pray that homes would be aligned to your word, God. Homes would be aligned to your spirit and to your anointing. Lord, I thank you that these people are gonna be blessed, God. They're gonna be blessed not because they're perfect, God, because they're willing, because they have a willing heart to serve you. I pray that there is not one person in this room that would go in with lack. We thank you for providing. You're our provider. You're our great provider, God. Let us be all that you have called us to be, God. If there is anyone in this room today that is struggling, that feels like I am struggling to hold what God has given me, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would strengthen that person's inner heart. Lord, that you would give them the peace that they need. Lord, I thank you that condemnation would go. Lord, we pray for your spirit to rest upon them. Lord, if there is someone in this room today, people in this room today, God, that don't know you, Lord, would today be the day of salvation? Would today be the day that they say, I don't understand it all, but I give my heart to you, God, whatever that looks like. We praise you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.